God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. This is day three in a four-program series featuring Dr. Grant Jeffrey. He and Brother Hutchings have been talking about valuable information in Brother Grant's newest book, Shadow Government. And they continue that on today's broadcast. As we pointed out earlier in the week, Brother Grant has been on this program many, many times in the past. He's considered one of today's foremost prophecy experts. His popular TV program, Bible Prophecy Revealed, airs weekly. Brother Hutchings, what will you and Brother Grant be talking about today?
Thank you, Brother Jerry. On the program today, we're going to start off by asking Brother Jeffrey about a section in his book. It's titled, Ever Movement and Purchase is Tracked. You know, we have all these RFID or chips today, and we have all our DNA on record, and many places like England, you're on camera almost 24 hours a day. Everything is tracked. They have to know about everyone, world terrorism, Al-Qaeda, and so more and more we are coming down where the government knows where you are all the time and what you're doing. In your book, you take us through that entire subject.
Well, I do. You know, most of us are aware that the universal barcode that we've been using for about 15, 20 years has been with us that long. But back in about 1998, a lot of companies were finding that the barcode was becoming less useful. It holds only enough information in the barcode for about 100,000 companies. And there are millions of companies that are producing products throughout the world. So some of the largest consumer companies, Gillette and Procter & Gamble, they got together and decided that they needed a replacement. You know, with a barcode, you had to get, in some huge warehouse, you had to get an inventory worker up on a cherry picker device to within about 5 feet that he could lean over, and with a scanner that could only read the barcode from about 12 inches away to find out what was in that particular skid or box. They needed something better, and so they went to MIT University, and they asked them for a replacement technology. MIT developed something. It's called Radio Frequency ID. Radio Frequency ID is now known as RFID. And what they came up with was a device about the size of a postage stamp that would have a little tiny computer chip at its center, surrounded by wires that would go around it like a maze, and that would, though it does not have a battery normally, when in the presence of a radio frequency reader, the radio frequency reader would send a radio signal about 100 feet away that would then bounce back and would identify the number, a number that was in the computer chip at the center, that would be a 96-digit alphanumeric number. That number would identify the actual company that made the product, maybe a company in China, the country it came from, the distribution arrangement. It would then mention maybe Costco or Walmart or one of the big retailers that had purchased that, and then it would identify the actual store it was going to, and then it would identify the type of product, perhaps say a pair of shoes or a belt or a pair of pants, and it would then identify with the rest of the numbers the actual pair of pants. Now, this system was designed initially for inventory control. It was designed also for anti-theft control in the store, and so that there are devices invisibly built into the shelves that when you lift up that pair of pants and you walk away from the shelf, the system, the computer system, is notified that that pair of pants is on the move. And if you don't go to the cashier in the next half hour, security is going to come looking for you. Now, when you go to the cashier and you give them your credit or debit card and buy that pair of pants, this unique 96-digit number, which automatically is fed back into a gigantic underground database of hard drives run by this consortium of manufacturers and retailers that wanted to replace the barcode. Now, when you attach your credit or debit card to that, when you buy that pair of pants, unfortunately for us, your own personal identification is now attached to that 96-digit number. Now, they could eliminate and, in effect, discontinue that number when you walk through the cashier, but they don't, because market researchers want to know how you use that particular product. Now, over the last 4 or 5 years, Noah, over 2 billion chips have been created every single year. They are now in virtually every product you can possibly imagine. China has just announced a few months back that they have included an RFID chip in all the identification documents that are by law required for every one of the 1.3 billion Chinese. These RFID chips are now in the passports of the United States and coming in the passports of my country, Canada. They are built into prescription products, even into some food products. They are built into almost everything you could possibly imagine. Now, when the manufacturers first thought of this, they got together these focus groups, these individuals, you know, 12 or 13 average consumers, and they sat down and said, here's what this will do. What do you think of it? And everyone said, no way. We don't want that at all, because there's nothing in it for the consumer, and there's no security features to protect our private information. Well, when they decided they couldn't sell it to people, rather than discontinue it, they decided to do it by stealth. And so with very, very little information ever sent out to the public, they have introduced this into pants and shirts and labels in your underwear. And now, instead of being the size of a postage stamp, 80 to 90% of the RFID chips are now so miniaturized that they're smaller than the period at the end of a sentence in a newspaper. In other words, they're invisible. They are in every kind of product you can imagine. Some who have looked at this, such as Karen Albright, the writer of the book Spy Chips, that I quote, tells us that the average individual has 3 to 4, probably RFID chips on their body, in their clothes, in their shoes, in the labels of their pants, their shirt, at any given time, and no one's ever told them. Now, when they go into an airport where these RFID scanners are built into the doors and built into the system through the walls as for security, when they go into a bank or a train station or a bus station, that number comes up. And since these devices are connected to the internet, with their access code, instantly comes up a number of that particular product, your pants, your shoes, but also comes up the number that indicates it's Grant Jeffrey whose shoes are being worn there. And while you could conceivably use your brother's shirt, you know, if there's 2 or 3 different RFID numbers and 2 or 3 of them are of Grant Jeffrey, then it's pretty good, you know, assumption of the security people that that's Grant Jeffrey who's just walked into the airport. This is the most intrusive total population surveillance system that has ever been conceived. Hitler or Stalin would have given their right arm for such a system. And this has been introduced not only in Europe, in America, in Canada, but now in Asia, without discussion, without debate in Parliament. And it is now so universal, Noah, that it is almost impossible to reverse.
We're visiting with Brother Grant Jeffrey, author of the book Shadow Government. That's one of our gift offers for those who support the program this month. I'm sure you'll want to get a copy, and our announcer will tell you how to do that to close the program today. But Grant, let me throw something at you. Suppose now we have a law, perhaps, that everybody in the United States has to get swine flu shots. Well, now, I understand that it is possible that these RFIDs now are so small, no bigger than a period, that they could put it in a vaccine shot, and this RFID would go in your body, and it's so small, it just circulates through your body, and no one would, you'd never know it. So everybody in the United States could get one through the vaccine shot.
Well, I've heard that. I don't know whether there's any evidence to indicate that that is so. But the fact that China has now mandated that every one of their population of 1,300,000,000 must have the RFID chip in their identity documents shows you the direction we're going in. I suspect, actually, that it will be introduced in the Western countries, in the democratic countries, probably by stealth, in a way that they will say that if you want to simplify your life financially so that you no longer have to use debit or credit cards or cash, that we will give you this chip and you'll get a 2% discount, you know, off all your purchases from that point on if you use the chip. I suspect it will be introduced that way, but it is not impossible that it will be introduced without people's knowledge, such as you have said. I just don't have any evidence that convinces me yet one way or the other. But, you know, as a student of Bible prophecy, one of the things that's always bothered me, Noah, is how in the world, when the Antichrist rises to power in Europe, and then he makes a 7-year treaty with Israel, the rapture's already taken place just before that treaty, and he makes a 7-year treaty with Israel, and for 3.5 years, he pretends to be a friend of Israel. He's a Messiah figure. But then he's assassinated when he stops the daily sacrifice in the temple in Jerusalem. And then he satanically rises from the dead, probably a few days later to imitate what Jesus did. And then he goes into the rebuilt temple, the Holy of Holies. He claims now for the first time to be God on earth. Satan has now taken over his body, wanting to be worshipped as God, as Satan has always done from the very beginning. It is only then that his partner, the false prophet, introduces the 666 mark of the beast system in the right-hander forehead of every individual. Well, what's always bothered me and many other prophecy teachers like yourself, Noah, is how in the world could even a world dictator introduce such a universal technology in only 3.5 years? And it struck me as I began doing research several years ago on these RFID chips. What if this technology was introduced years before the Antichrist rose to power as an economic system that replaces the barcode, that is universal, ubiquitous, that it's something that is there and is a neutral technology, and that it's in people's products and ultimately perhaps even in their bodies. But then, when the Antichrist arises and then he's assassinated, that all they have to do is say, okay, you got 30 days to come down to City Hall and publicly bear allegiance and worship the Antichrist as God. If you do, we'll add 666 to your existing number, and it could be introduced very, very quickly if the technology is already there. And I'm not saying that the RFID chip is the mark of the beast. Please don't misunderstand, listeners. What I'm saying is that this technology or something similar to it could well facilitate the fulfillment of that prophecy after the rapture has occurred and the people are then faced with this world dictator, the Antichrist.
Yes, I know recently, you know, there was a directive that they were going to put the administration was going to hire a firm to make a library of all emails and website information of everyone for future references. Of course, they could do the same thing with everyone's RFID, just be in an electronic library somewhere.
Absolutely. And, you know, you can understand how they could want to do this for an innocuous, innocent purpose. But the potential for the misuse of that by a future government that is dictatorial is very obvious to anyone who thinks about it for a few minutes.
Yes. You could say for crisis reasons that we have to keep track of everybody and so on and so on. World Health Plan, for example, or a national health plan. We have to have all your medical records and everything. I think that would be very easy to propose to the general public, and there might be some problem at first with some people who had read the Bible. In fact, I remember back in the Roosevelt days, there was the NRA program, but an eagle on your door, and you had to be part of the program if you're going to do business. Well, you know, the church rose up then and said, no, we're not going to have this. This could be the mark of the beast. That was way back in the 1930s. But I don't think people are as fundamental and biblically informed now as they were back in the 1930s, Grant.
No, you're absolutely right, Noah. I think most people would just very blithely accept any introduction of such a technology, such as what is happening right now as we speak in China, and happening economically in America, but it's happening in North America and Europe without a discussion, without any debate in Congress or Parliament, because the companies, having found that when people find out about this, they say, no way, do we want this? And so they're introducing it by stealth. And we now have probably in the order of 7 to 8 billion RFID chips everywhere, and the average person has probably two or three of the chips on their body, in their products, of the labels of their shirts, their pants, in the soles of their shoes, all built in, all designed for inventory and control and anti-theft, but they continue to work after you leave the store. And therefore, in one scenario I talk about, since Americans and Canadians have these RFID chips in their passports, it's not impossible that a future terrorist might very well put a bomb plus a radio frequency reader in a garbage pail, for example, somewhere in the Middle East. And when any American or Canadian, based on their RFID chip, which, you know, we all carry our passports when we leave the hotel in foreign countries, that when we come within 25 feet of that particular bomb, all of a sudden it could go off, that we as individuals could be identified. For example, when you drive up to a custom station between Canada, States, or Mexico, from 100 feet away, the radio frequency readers in the custom station recognize the number, and because they're connected automatically to the internet hard drives, they can read that number and your identity. So when that nice girl leans out of the window and says, where were you born, sir? She knows what the answer should be. And if you don't give that same answer, you know, you're going in for a secondary investigation. We are living in a surveillance society that is unprecedented in human history, Noah. And one of the things I'm trying to point out in the book, Shadow Government, is that the freedoms that you and I and all Canadians and Americans have taken for granted in our whole lifetime are rapidly being diminished, and the surveillance capabilities that now exist will make it possible for the first time in human history that what the Bible said in Revelation 13, 16 to 18, that when the Antichrist arises, no one, great or small, rich or poor, will be able to do a single thing without having the mark of the beast. For the very first time in history, Noah, the technology exists to let this thing happen once the Antichrist arises.
Well, we certainly live in interesting times. Grant, I want to bring up a subject that to me is very alarming. That is new standard for truth. I understand now there is within the United Nations and the international community and even governments of the world, even our own administration, that truth anymore is by global consensus. It doesn't make any difference if the facts prove that there's no such thing as global warming, and there's no such thing as CO2 being dangerous to your health. And yet, if it is a global consensus that it is, that there is global warming, then the standard of truth is what a global consensus is, regardless of what the facts, scientific facts, or historical facts prove. Have you tuned into any of this?
I have seen some of it, and it's just appalling to me that, you know, people could so abandon what is logical and has been accepted by humanity and by, you know, our own understanding of conscience and truth throughout history. But we are certainly seeing that. We're seeing scientists that are being virtually driven from their scientific universities and from the study of giving of grants by government simply because they question the prevailing beliefs in evolution, whether it's man-made global warming. You know, certainly there is climate change, and no one who watches and what is happening scientifically would doubt climate change. But, you know, to even have a scientist who says, so far I haven't seen evidence that it's, you know, caused by man, precisely, to see such a person hounded from the university, lose their job, lose their government grants, and be shunned, and you know, even be forbidden to go to conferences, is simply unbelievable that in the so-called free world, these things can now happen. I mean, this is what happened in Russia. If people under Stalin did not agree with whatever scientific ideas he agreed with, they were literally just about driven into concentration camps. And that today we would see a situation where individuals who, for scientific reasons, have a doubt about something that is accepted by the majority would now, regardless of their academic requirements and their capabilities and their qualifications, would be driven from their field, is very, very much a subject of concern to me.
Grant, one thing we can put in the bank, and that is that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, Jesus, you can believe him, he is the truth. And he said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if there's anyone listening to the program today and doesn't have this assurance, we're living in serious times. Jesus could come back anytime. In fact, he might come back before the next program over this ministry. So we certainly would encourage any unsaved person who doesn't have this assurance to call us, or you can call me or the ministry, or if Brother Grant is in your area, you can talk to him. Thank you, Grant. You'll be back one more day.
Look forward to it. God bless.
Thanks, gentlemen. We all look forward to hearing more about the high-tech surveillance trap that's been set. You're hearing lots of valuable information on these programs, but there's even more when you get Brother Grant's newest book, Shadow Government. It's offered for a contribution of $20 in the United States, $22 in Canada. Get yours by calling 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma 73008. Or go online. The web address is swrc.com. The four programs in this series are also available. Get them on CD or tape for a gift of $19 in the U.S., $20 in Canada. Coming next over many of these stations is a Bible in the News report. Be here tomorrow for the conclusion of the series of vital programs on your Watchman on the Wall broadcast of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries' Bible in the News report, a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program. I'm Jerry Geltner. I'll be bringing you today's report. Most times, the wave of the hand is seen as a friendly greeting, especially when it's followed by such words as, Hi, how you doing? But a wave of the hand may be much more if a new radio frequency identifier, RFID, technology becomes more popular. An RFID manufacturer, VeriChip, that introduced the technology a number of years ago, is increasing the number of uses the tiny chips can perform when implanted in humans. We'll be quoting from moneycentral.msn.com, September 11, 2009. Quote, it's a simple concept, really. You inject a miniature radio frequency identifier the size of a grain of rice between your thumb and forefinger, and with a wave of your hand, unlock doors, turn on lights, start your car, or pay for your drinks at an ultra-chic night spot. Problem is, the whole concept is a little geeky for most of us, nauseating for some, Orwellian for a few, and even apocalyptic for a smattering of religious fundamentalists. Forget the science of it, and yes, it does work remarkably well. Forget the convenience of it. Forget that similar identifying technologies from barcodes to mag stripes overcame similar obstacles and are now ubiquitous. Radio frequency ID implants face a hurdle the others did not, ickiness. There is a sort of icky quality to implanting something, says Rome Jett, the vice president for smart cards at Versatile Card Technology, a Downers Grove, Illinois card manufacturer that ships 1.5 billion cards worldwide a year. The RFID technology is unyucky, however. The implanted tag, a passive RFID device consisting of a miniature antenna and chip containing a 16-digit identification number, is scanned by an RFID reader. Once verified, the number is used to unlock a database file, be it a medical record or payment information. One VeriChip distributor in Spain sold the concept to the ultra-trendy Baja Beach Club, which offered its patrons the option of having an implant inserted in their upper arms to pay for their drinks without having to carry wallets in their swimsuits. Judging by the ensuing outrage, you would think VeriChip had given the Pope a wedgie. Websites sprouted like mushrooms, accusing VeriChip of being the biblical mark of the beast predicted in the book of Revelation as a foreshadowing of the end of the world. Close quotes. Well, let's set the record straight. We read about the mark of the beast in the book of Revelation, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. That's Revelation chapter 13, verse 16. But RFID is not the mark of the beast because that does not occur until the Great Tribulation, as we just read. And we certainly aren't there yet. However, such technology could be used at that time to implement the mark. That's the apparent cause for concern some people have today. That's today's Bible in the News report. To get a complimentary copy of the magazine, call 800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or go to the web at swrc.com. Join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News or question and answer.